Stepping into the pulpit with the word sharper than any two-edged sword. Bringing the good news with power, purpose, and passion. He's the shepherd of this house. The man who doesn't just preach the word, he models it. Put your hands together and make some holy noise. The reigning model citizen. The one.
Father's Day. If you ain't first, you're last. That's right. And we're going to talk about modeling. And I couldn't think of a better spiritually sound father in all the world than Ricky Bobby. He raised two of the toughest boys in the world. They weren't named Dr. Quinn and Medicine Man. No. They had altogether different names, and so we are glad that you're here. Can we give it up for the dads in the house today? I'm going to sweat right through this, so I'm just going to go ahead and take it off now. This is a high quality racing uniform here. Fire retardant or explosive, I'm not sure really. But today we're talking about what does it look like to model. What does it look like to be the model for our families? And men, I will tell you, what you model matters. What you model to your family, it matters a great deal. And today is a day that we are celebrating dads. And it's a day that we are going to eat well. I have the championship rib right here. Would anybody like to savor it? I've got one right here. It was just brought to me. Who would like this one? Seriously, you can have it. Come on up here and get it. Come get it. Yeah. Sean, our young adult saw you and said, "I'm out. I'm tapping. I can't beat him. I can't beat him. I'm done. I'm out." This year was a very, very tight competition. Quite frankly, the second place the fourth place and the first place were literally within 4 points of each other. But this year, the winner, I believe that he might be a three-time champion. I'm not actually sure, but he may be a three-time champion, is Dr. Pitmaster James Delaney has actually taken first place again. James Adair, PA, was the first loser this year, so this year we have a couple different things. We have a bug assault for every one of the competitors. This is a bug assault rifle. You fill it with salt and you shoot flies with it. So every competitor actually gets one of these. James, come on up here. And then we actually have, there's a two-pack. There's a brisket slicing knife, so we want you to make brisket next year if you don't mind. And then he actually gets the King of the Grill, Relevant Church Cutting Board. You guys give it up for James Delaney. Thank you, friend. Oh, wait, this is yours too. The assault rifle. You're going to need that. I mean, it only shoots salt, so I don't know how deadly it is or anything. But I hear that it's deadly to flies. So that was that's the whole premise of it. But thank you guys so much for being here today. What an incredible day. I love Father's Day. I did have one of our ladies ask why women on Mother's Day didn't have a big barbecue grill out front. And to which I responded, because women aren't going to stay up all night and cook the barbecue. So that's why. But on Father's Day, that's what our men did. But we can work on something different next year. Pedicures maybe for the ladies or something. I don't know. We'll have the men do the pedicures. That sound good? All right. Okay. All right. We'll see what we can get the men to do. But here's the deal. We live in a culture and in a mentality that says we want success at all cost. Like, wasn't that what Ricky Bobby always said? Like, if you're not first, you're last. and it was modeled by his dad. And Ricky Bobby was literally a product of a father who walked out, a father who was not present, and the only thing he remembered about his father, he modeled. And I think that's important for us as men to realize today is that whatever you model will be repeated in your kids. Ricky Bobby didn't need a better model, a better motto. He needed a better model, and that would have been his dad. And so I submit to you dads today, what are you modeling today? Because what you model gets repeated, and modeling matters. And I believe we've got some great models in here today. But I would ask this question to all of us, myself included. What are your kids inheriting silently from the life that you're living out loud? We laugh at lines like, if you're not first, you're last. But what are the unspoken mottos that echo in the chambers of your home that you say, maybe without saying it, like work before family, or real men don't show emotion, or church is optional. Whether we realize it or not, we're handing down mottos that our kids have to model, and they become the blueprints that they build their life upon. So this morning, man, I want to give us a quick gut check today. I want to give us a quick gut check because I had somebody this week. We have somebody in our church who has a 3D model maker. And he made two different models of these little tugboats. And this one is jankiest model I have ever seen. And I mean, it still functions and it still looks right. But if you look at the detail of it, the detail's just off. And then this one was literally done to perfection. And I believe that we each have an option today as dads in here, as men in here, who people are following to say, what am I going to do? And James chapter 1 gives us this. It says, don't just listen to God's word, but you got to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Guys, we can't pass down what we're not living out. And I know that some of us grew up with a motto from a dad who said, do as I say, not as I do. And we all know that that's a lie. We all know that it didn't work for us and it's not going to work for our kids. And so what we have to make a decision is, listen, guys, you need to live it out. Literally, don't just go through the motions. Don't just watch your kids grow up. Live it out for them. Do you know this? We're the most resourced generation in all of history. Like with a few taps on a screen, like literally we can listen to any pastor in the world. And quite frankly, there are a lot that are better than me. And I listen to them all the time because I need to be fed. You can order your dinner. You can order your groceries. Quite frankly, now you can even order a car online and they will deliver it to your home. And while spiritual access has never been more prevalent, what's startling is that spiritual engagement has actually never been lower. And I think that's interesting to me. Because we have become consumers of spiritual information without being models of what the spiritual information should actually do for us and in our lives. You can consume and we can consume a lot of things that literally never change us. And what God is asking us to do as men is don't be a spiritual spectator, but get in the game. Get in the game spiritually. And today, yes, it's a challenge because I feel like I'm a man and I can challenge men. And I believe that most men would rather be challenged than to play patty cake with. And so I want to challenge us as men. I want to challenge us to step up and engage what's going on in our lives, engage our kids, engage our wives, engage our families. And it doesn't just happen at home, but it happens on the job front as well, where we are modeling for our bosses and our coworkers what it's like to actually live out this thing that we call faith in Christ. James 1:22. I want to read it again because it says, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And so we deceive ourselves. But then look at Romans. Romans chapter 2 sort of echoes James chapter 1. Romans 2 echoes it, and it says, for it's not the hearer of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. We can be the guy who literally posts Bible verses on Instagram all the time and never crack open the Bible with our kids. We can quote Psalms and Proverbs and never pray with our wives. And we can nod along in church and never walk it out at home. And Jesus calls us out on that. In the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? And I believe that is a cry to me and to all of us in here today. Think about it this way. I don't know how many of you attempt to play golf. We have a golf group here at Relevant. I have been occasionally. I have been made fun of at the golf course by one of our very own members, who is the general manager of said golf course. He made fun of my swing, of my clubs, pretty much of my general being there on the golf course was a travesty. However, I still go. And what I've decided to do is, if I cannot play the part, I might as well look the part. And so I've been looking for new clubs because I thought, hey, you know, if I can't play golf, at least I could show up with the right bag. So, you know, I don't at least get made fun of by the clubs that I play and the bag that I have and the shirt that I have. So literally this past week, I had my wife buy me a Callaway golf shirt, bought me some nice Callaway shorts. My son got me some new clubs. He was so ashamed of me. He bought me new clubs for Father's Day. A little awkward that he pilfered through the bag and took the clubs he wanted and then gave me the rest. So I got the leftovers on Father's Day too. I have no idea how that worked out. But I looked at the bag and I said, there's no driver in here. He goes, yeah, I took that. There's no 3-wood in here. I took that too. Well, God bless me. Happy Father's Day for me. But here's what I know. How many of us, when we talk about our faith, are doing the same thing? Like we roll into church and we dress the part and we talk the part and we post the right pictures on Instagram and the right captions on Instagram, but we know, and I'm there with you sometimes, we know that my heart is not there. Our kids, our wives, men, they notice. They won't ever remember a sermon you listened to, but they'll remember how you treated them. They'll know how you treated their mom when no one else was looking. And they'll remember whether church was a priority for you and whether you made church a priority for them. They'll remember if Jesus was real every day or if he was just real on Sunday. We talked a lot about Proverbs 31 in our series on the book of Ruth. But Proverbs also speaks to men as well. In Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Integrity, I will tell you this, never makes a headline. but legacies do. Do you know what makes headlines? Anything that is salacious or outlandish. That's what makes the headlines. Because that's what we want to do. Because like it or not, we live in a culture who wants to see somebody else's life fall apart. Because if their life fell apart, then I feel better about my train wreck of a life. I don't know if that's a legacy. God wants us to build legacies. We need to be legacy builders. And men, if you have kids, you have an opportunity to pour into them a legacy maybe that you didn't even have. Because I know I hear that all the time. I know some of you didn't come from a great family. I get that. Maybe you didn't have a legacy like I have. I'm blessed with my legacy. I'm blessed that as far as I can remember, literally church was a priority in our family. Can I just tell you this? Church was not optional for me as a kid. It didn't matter. We were going to church. My dad drove the bus to church. You know what that meant? That meant I couldn't be late to church. We got there before everybody because we had to go pick up the bus to go pick up everybody else. I hated that. I did. But I got a legacy because of that. I watched my dad, who was not paid by the church. He was not on staff by the church. But he would go and pick up people and pick up kids in some of the darkest areas, in some of the roughest areas in Tampa, and bring them to church so that he could share the gospel with them. And I watched it year after year after year. So much so that I got to watch my dad, who was kind of the first children's ministry person for elementary kids here at Relevant Church. And if your kids are old enough, you'll remember some of those things. The wrestling matches that happened because my dad used to love wrestling, and it's wrestling. If you're back in the day, you know what wrestling is. And he did all kinds of stuff. So much stuff that Pastor Tim sometimes wondered if he should do stuff, because on Easter, I'll just tell you this, on Easter, my dad always thought that, you know, when the stone rolled away, the best way to illustrate a stone rolling away on Easter was to put an M80 behind the stone. And he built this, like, paper mache, like, tomb, and it had a stone on the front of it. And he would light it for the kids at the Italian club, and he literally launched the tomb door off on Easter Sunday. It was better illustration than I could ever give. Like, better than I could ever give. But you know what? My son was led to Jesus by his granddad. Because legacy matters. Men, we get to do that. You get to do that. Don't ever think that what you're doing doesn't matter and you're not building a legacy. Colossians 3:21 says this, "Fathers, don't provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Our failures won't ruin our kids, but our absence might. Your failures, they need to see those things. They need us to be honest and say, I kind of screwed up. I'm sorry. They don't need your perfection, but they need you to be present for the stuff that they think is important. They need a dad who actually walks with Jesus more than anything else. Not one who just talks about Jesus. Because they watch how you walk, not just how you talk. Here's the deal. I don't want you to walk away like just saying, "Hey man, I want to be a fan in the stand." I don't want you to be a fan in the stand. I want you to get in the game with your kids. I want you to get in the game with your family. Don't watch from the sideline. Engage what they're doing. Do you want to know why I picked golf back up? Do you want to know why? I haven't played golf since my grandfather, really. I mean, my grandfather taught me how to play golf years and years ago. And I just haven't picked it up lately. I just haven't played it much lately. But you know why I picked golf back up? Because my son asked me to go play golf. And I said, "Heck yeah, I'm going. I'm playing golf. I suck at it. I'm going. I'll go every time I get asked. Because I want to be in the game. And I'm old.
Some of you got young kids. And you know what? They want to play Minecraft. God bless you guys. I got nothing on Minecraft. I don't even know how to do it. But if that's what they want to do, get in the game. Get in the game. You see, because our life is a blueprint for our kids. Our life is the blueprint that they're modeling and they're building their life upon. And they're building upon it brick by brick, season by season, year after year. There's this old saying that says, more is caught than ever is taught. And when it comes to fatherhood, I can tell you that nothing stands out like that more than fatherhood. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, be imitators of me as I am an imitator of Christ. And I will tell you, as we imitate, our lives become the framework that our children build their lives upon. And so I would just tell you this, that if church is an option, then I can tell you the next generation will take that option and make it less of an option than you have. And that might sting a little bit, but I can't help it. I just know that that's true. Dads, your kids will never quote your favorite preacher. They'll never quote me. They won't, because I ain't your favorite preacher, probably. So that's one of those things. But I know this, they will quote you. They will quote what you say. They will say the things that you say. They will model what you say. Titus 2 says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound teaching that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about you. You see, what we model in small, unseen things and unseen places and the daily choices that we make often has the biggest and longest effect on our families. It's not the big things we do. It's the little things. Think about this. Think about the things that were done with you, with your dad, when you were a kid. Most of the time, they're not the big things. They're the little things. I remember, unless you know that I love fishing. Our family, I love fishing. I love being on the water. I love diving. I love all that stuff. And I think my love for fishing came from my dad, who my dad got a boat that my mom had destroyed. It was her dad's boat. My mom, God bless her, she didn't know how to drive the boat real well. So she drove it and hit a log. Is that true, Dad? Did my mom put a hole in the bottom of the boat? And so it was not functioning any longer. And so if you want to ask my mom how she drives a boat, not very well. And so she put a hole in the bottom of her dad's boat. This boat was probably from the 50s. I'm not kidding you. And my dad said, I can fix that, because that's what my dad does. I can fix that. And so my dad patched the bottom of the boat. It was a 14-foot boat. It was a 14-foot boat. It had a 40-horse Evinrude motor on it that literally broke about every other time we took it out. That was the boat we had. But I remember us going out into the bay when my dad would get off work after being a truck driver and driving a truck from like 3 a.m. to like 2 p.m. We'd get home from school. He said, hey, guys, you want to go fishing today? And we'd go out. And I remember us putting in at Courtney Campbell Causeway. We'd go trout fishing. Or fishing for whatever we could catch. That was just what we did, and I remember that. It wasn't a great boat, but it was our boat. And my dad took the time to do that. Dads, find out what it is and just invest. Because they won't remember the big things. They'll be great. But those little things, they will never, ever forget. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, it says, and these words that I command you today shall be put on your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your children and shall talk about them when you sit in the house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. As when your kids and my kids see that Scripture is important, they start modeling that because you modeled it and they start replicating it. So let's zoom out just a little bit. We've been talking about the four walls of your house, but let's just zoom out just a little bit. Your life as a man of God is echoed in your workplace as well. It's echoed in your neighborhood and in your church. Our life echoes and reverberates farther than we think it does. And so many times what happens is we think that our scope and our sphere of influence isn't that big, but it really is. Psalm 78 says this. It says, He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know Him. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. I don't know if you remember this, but Psalm 78, verse 5, when we were really praying about leaving legacies for our kids and leaving legacies, letting this church be a legacy church, this was one of the verses that I used. And it was that literally that the next generation might know God. Back in January at our 20-year anniversary, I said, listen, I'm going to spend the next season that I have here as pastor depositing into the next generation. Depositing into the next generation, young adults and students and children, because I believe that's what keeps the ministry going. This means is our vulnerability, it matters. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be vulnerable. I don't like to admit that I'm wrong. I hate that. But the hard lessons that I have learned in my life, they matter to my kids. They matter to my friends. They matter to my neighbors. They matter to my church community. When I start modeling that my weaknesses are not going to define me, but they are part of me, it matters. Dads, don't underestimate your example that you're leaving for your kids. Don't underestimate it. I want you to engage and step into the game. I want you to realize that the blueprints of your life, oh, they matter. But I want you to know, what's the fuel for your life, men? What is going to be the thing that fuels your life? And I will tell you, the thing that should fuel your life more than anything else is your faith. Because I believe faith is the fuel that everything runs upon. Faith is the fuel that our life runs upon. And without faith, literally, we're just guessing. Faith is a verb, and it's active. James 2:17 says this, so also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. Faith is, it's active. Faith is not a vibe that we feel. Like, it's not this vibe. Oh, I just got this really cool spiritual vibe. Faith isn't a vibe, it's a verb. It does something. What does a vibe do? I don't know. It just feels. What the freak is that? I don't know. Just feeling it, man. Just feeling it. What are you feeling? Faith is active and it's alive. I don't have to guess what faith is. I know what faith is. It's not this feeling that I get. It is embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And He's not a vibe. He's the Savior of the world. Biblical faith moves. It moves us. It builds. It lives. It literally is all-encompassing. For fathers, that kind of faith doesn't just show up on Sunday. Dad, you need a faith that shows up on Monday. You need a faith that shows up on Thursday when you want to strangle your boss. As I know you've had those days. How many of you dads in here have had a day where you wanted to punch a boss in the throat? Okay, good. I just wanted you to know. How many of you, you were the boss and you want to punch yourself in the throat? Like, that's been me sometimes. Like, you know, you're like, God, if I could punch myself in the throat, I'd do it. Like, you're just like, ah! When your faith shows up then, when life is falling apart and your faith shows up then, and you let your kids know, let me tell you something, God's still going to show up and I'm not quitting and our family's not quitting. That's when they know that faith isn't a vibe, that it's a verb. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heavens. Dads, your kids aren't learning faith just by what they hear from you. They're learning it by what they see from you. I love what the book of Joshua said. Joshua said this, and a lot of times we put these plaques everywhere. We see them in our church foyers and everything. It says this, and if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your father served in the regions beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's not passive, guys. That is a stand. That is a mark in the sand. That is a line in the sand. That's not about being controlled. That is about saying, I am turning over control of my life to God, and I am going to allow Him to lead. I think sometimes in our culture today, we have emasculated men more than celebrated men. And we have celebrated passivity rather than celebrated actually just standing up and being a man. And I would say standing up is sometimes standing up for somebody who can't stand up for themselves too. I get that. But we've also labeled manhood as hyper-aggressive, and it doesn't have to be. We've labeled men who have emotion as weak, and they're not. I believe that you can be one of the strongest men and have the most tender heart in the world, and you can have both, and that makes you stronger than any other person, because it doesn't take a real man to bark out loud. We can bark really loud. But let your life preach louder than the words that you speak. If we go back to the wisdom that we started with, we heard, if you ain't first, you're last. Well, let's be honest. When it comes to fatherhood, I felt last a whole lot more than I have ever felt first. How about you? I felt last a lot more than first. Last to figure it out, last to get it right. Last to believe that I was making a difference. I feel last. And yet that's where literally the grace of God intersects with my life. And I allow Him to do what only He can do in my life and through my life. So Ricky Bobby's example does remind me of something. If we don't intentionally model the right things, we will accidentally pass on the wrong ones, which is what Ricky did. His kids were literally holy terrors. Why? Because Ricky wasn't necessarily present, and he gave them one motto to live by. And at all costs, they were going to live that motto. And I just wonder if maybe God is asking us to do something different. Maybe God is asking us as men to leave something different. Like, what if we need to be real and make Jesus a priority? What if that's what we need to do? Like, I want to give you a couple things. A couple action steps. One is, pick one thing this week and start modeling it. Pick one thing that you have not been modeling and start modeling it this week. Maybe it's just praying with your family. Maybe it's saying, you know what? No longer is church going to be an option. We are going to prioritize that us learning what the Word of God has to say and us going to church together as a family, it matters.
What if for you as a dad, you need to apologize first? Or what if you need to pick up the phone and call your dad or your son and just say hello? Number two, be real and make Jesus a priority. Like when you're tired, show up anyway. When you mess up, own it. That's modeling Jesus. Like if you mess up, just own it. And when you're blessed and things are going great, like celebrate that it was God who did it, not you. And then lastly, surrender to Christ what needs to be surrendered. And for some of you dads in here, the first thing that needs to be surrendered is your life. You can't live for Christ if you don't know Christ. You can't live for Christ if you've never given your life to Him. And yes, that is called surrender. Giving our lives to Jesus Christ is surrendering our mess for the grace and mercy that's given to us by Jesus Christ and only Him. And that means I have to be honest. Maybe I haven't been everything I was supposed to be. Can I give you a break here? You don't have to be. Because Jesus was everything you need. This morning, I just want to, I believe the most manly thing that you could do today is if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, that today you bend the knee to Jesus. And you say, Jesus, you have it all. I give it all to you. Jesus, I just want to say yes to you. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to come into my life. I want you to change my life. I want to be the leader and the example and the model that you want me to be. And Jesus gave us the model to follow. He sacrificed the most. He sacrificed first. And He went to the cross so that we could experience redemption and freedom. And all He says, will you say yes to me? Because Jesus said yes to you. Will you say yes to Him? Yes, Jesus, you're the Christ. Yes, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sin. Yes, Jesus, you rose again on the third day. And yes, Jesus, I want to invite you to come into my life and save me today. That's what it looks like to surrender. So today, can I ask you, would you pray with me? Can we bow our heads? God, I thank you for today. I thank you for men and women that are here today. God, my prayer is today that we would not walk away from here as hearers of the word, but we would do something with it. And that, God, we would recognize that we get the opportunity to be the model for our families. God, help us to model for them what it looks like to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ.